Well, hello there once again, and welcome to another Battle Site for Christ presentation. Oh, how I love the Word of God, and how I love Just as Jesus Radio, where you're tuned into right now. Wonderful, wonderful messages coming through all the time, and lots of that good old Southern gospel music. I just love it. I love it with a great passion, I do. And I hope you do, too. Stay tuned, because I've got a good message for you today. A real good message. I call it The Matter of Salvation. What you need to know. The Matter of Salvation. Let's have a word of prayer, and then we'll get right into the message. Dear Heavenly Father, Almighty God, oh, thank you, Lord, for giving me another opportunity to do this message, Lord. I pray the words I speak are words that you have laid on my heart, Lord, not I alone, Lord. Lord God, I pray that the listener's ears will be open, and when the message is finished, may we go our way separately rejoicing, Lord, and glad that we listened. For I thank you in Jesus' wonderful name, and for his sake, amen, amen. The matter of salvation. Now, I may be a lot long, or a little long anyway, in the tooth, as they say, you probably guessed, but I may have been through the proverbial mill as well a few times or so, and around the track and back many more times than I can count. Sound familiar? Sure does, huh? Well, try this one on for size. Can you get salvation? Can you get salvation? Can you get saved and never know it? Can you? Well, if you believe that you can do this, you can get salvation and not know it, then what? Well, then you can lose it and never miss it, right? See, it works both ways there. Now, I'm not implying you can lose your salvation, but if you think you got it and you haven't, well, then you can't lose it and miss it because you never had it, okay? Sounds a little complicated there, doesn't it? But we'll straighten it out as we go along. Don't base your beliefs. Don't base your beliefs on your doubts. You understand? Don't do that. I hear this every month when I preach at the seniors' residence here in Newmarket. And afterwards, I ask them all that important question, which, you know, you have a little chit-chat with them before you leave. And I say, do you know for sure if you died today you'd go to heaven? Well, most of them say, well, I hope so. It just makes me cringe. So, what can I do? What can I do? I hear it all the time. I reassure them time after time after time. And I always give them the gospel, plain, clear, even a child could understand, over and over and over again, especially John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Right? Well, when you get a bunch of people together, whether it be in an auditorium or be in an old folks' home or out in the park somewhere, wherever, and you start preaching the gospel, and then talk to as many as you can individually and ask them the same question. Do you know for sure if you died today you'd go to heaven? You'll get a lot of what I just said. Well, I hope so. And a cute little smile, you know. Oh, it's the most frequent response you get. And the sad part of it is it can be very, very disheartening. It's almost like, wow, did I waste my time? No, you didn't. No, you didn't. It's appointed unto us to preach the word, but not to do the saving. That's up to God, right? Something else you get when you're done preaching and you make your rounds, if you do, there's at least one very emphatic non-believer in that group. At least one. That person just sits there, doesn't look at you, pretends sometimes they're sleeping, but is listening acutely. There I am, practically on my knees before this guy in his easy chair. He sat through the entire sermon. And I say, well, what about you, sir? Do you know for sure if you died tonight, you'd go to heaven? I want to tell you, this guy listened through the whole service. And sharply his response was, nope, I don't. All I can think was, oh, Lord, we got another one. Oh, no. Let me tell you, I witnessed to a lot of seniors during my ministry. And every now and then, I get one of these. Do you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ? Nope. Don't you believe that God sent His Son to die for our sins? Nope. Oh, sir, you must believe in something. Do you believe in hell? Nope. You don't believe in anything? Nope. Do you believe in heaven? Nope. Oh, man. Well, what do you believe in, sir? Only what I can see, smell, and touch. Boy, I thought he was going to hit me. Oh, now, one of the great things God taught me when I started His ministry was that more things are wrought by prayer than this world dreams of. You've heard that before, no doubt. Never give up. Never. Pray for this lost soul. Pray, pray, pray without ceasing. That's what God wants us to do. Now, I pray for him as often as I can think about it, even at the dinner table. We may not always hear what we want to hear from these lost and dying souls, but keep one thing in mind. God looks upon the heart. God looks upon the heart. We witness. We pray. Let God take care of the salvation part. I pray for Brian every day. Yes, I do. Remember when Christ walked the earth and how believers asked how they should pray? What they should say? Well, God taught them. He taught us how to pray too. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. Hey, memorize that prayer if you haven't already. It's a good prayer to have, isn't it? Oh, yes. Now, do you suppose people are afraid of being, well, too gullible when it comes to salvation? That old saying, you can't have your cake and eat it too. Well, it carries a lot of weight. Yes, it does. No pun intended. If someone told me the world was flat, that was good enough for me. I'll just stay in the middle. I remember my uncle telling me the moon was made out of green cheese. Well, I couldn't prove him wrong, so I didn't care. I was just a kid. When I was a child, the Bible says I thought as a child. Okay? I understood as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. Wouldn't it be something today if we wanted to converse with God and we needed a telephone? You know, a real telephone. Oh, and the operator was an angel. And the angel would say, "That line is busy. Try again later." If you came from a Catholic background, let me tell you, you have a lot of repenting to do. So the question remains, somewhere in Catholicism, their motto is plain and simple. Whether you're early or late, we have you insured. Excuse me. Let me try that again. Got a little frog in my throat. Whether you're early or late, we've insured your fate. Not faith, your fate. Whether you're early or late, we've insured your fate. Having come from Catholicism myself, having that background as far back as I can remember, they had me convinced. I was prepared for heaven. I was going no matter what. All I had to do was go through the ritual of Holy Communion. I can tell you, I'm not trying to now be obnoxious here when I say ritual, but the way some people phrase it, the way some people use it, it's almost as if it were a ritual, okay? I can still hear my poor Aunt Duppy. Aunt Duppy passed away this year, calling out the door to me as I headed off to church as a young boy. "Tommy, you be sure and go to communion or you'll go to hell." Wow. Hey, that didn't bother me because I didn't believe in any of the stuff, heaven or hell. So I would take communion every Sunday. And then I acted like the devil the rest of the week. Oh, that's when I was a kid now. That's when I was a child. Now, as we say in the Maritimes, now, ain't that a fine kettle of fish? I'm an old Maritimer, yes I am. When I think of all those funerals I went to, and all the good Catholic people gathered around the family gravesites, blessing the coffin, making the sign of the cross, and saying their rosary, their beads. What a hell of a way to go. My daddy, my mama, my brothers, all my kinfolk. I'll never see them again. Not according to God's word, I won't. But by the grace of God, there go I. Oh, you know why? Because they is in hell. They is in hell. That's why they believed in a man instead of God's book. They did. My friends, God's word. Clearly states in Ecclesiastes, there's a time to be born and a time to die. Friends, there is also a time to be born again unto the glory of God, and a time to die under hell's damnation. I tell you this. Going to a church cathedral and being told you are in the presence of a holy and righteous God will not get you to heaven. It will not get you to heaven. Listening to Joel Osteen or Benny Hinn tell you not to worry, God is merciful, will not get you to heaven. Tossing your hard-earned wages into the grotto at Mary's feet will not get you to heaven. Praying the rosary over a dead body in a funeral home will not get them to heaven. Lifting your hands to the storm and telling God you're ready to meet Him will not get you to heaven. Friends, there's only one way and one way alone to get to heaven. One way alone. Reading and believing the Word of God. The Word of God, which was given to us by way of Antioch, as men were moved by the Holy Spirit, repent and believe, and God will receive. Have you got that? Repent and believe, and God will receive. Jeremiah says, by repenting of the evil that I thought to do, if you even think evil, get it out of your head. Pray about it. Get it gone. Ezekiel says, by repenting and turning from your idols. Do you know what your idols are? No, they're not little figurines you put on the shelf. They are things that you do almost every day. You have to go and see that movie. You have to go perhaps to that dance. You have to go and visit those buddies of yours who are hard-drinking people. Or you have to tell a lie in order to save face. Oh, come unto repentance. 2 Peter 3:9 says that all should come to repentance. Believe ye, or pardon me, repent ye, and believe in the gospel. People, you cannot say that repentance is not essential for salvation. You cannot say that. Although some of you do, you cannot. You see, the Bible's clear. Without repentance, there is no salvation. No salvation. You cannot call yourself a Christian because your mama says you are. You cannot be a born-again Christian from the womb. No, you must be born again into the family of God. Tell me, sir, tell me, madam, have you examined yourself by the Word of God? The Word of God tells us to examine ourselves to see if we really are in the faith. Now, you may ask, how do we do this? Look in the mirror? No. Well, let me ask you this. Do you look at yourself in the mirror anyway? Sure you do, at least once a day, some many times a day. Sure you do. But what if you don't have a mirror? What then? Would you trust someone else to tell you, oh, you look just fine. Oh, yes, you look good, real good, yep. Would you? Maybe. You'd like to, wouldn't you? Maybe not. Maybe you'd want a second opinion. Think about it. Oh, it's not a game, folks. It's a need to make sure that you're saved. Don't go about frivolously and thinking, oh, well, I believe Jesus went to the cross, you know, and died for our sins. I believe all that. Sure, now get out of my face, will you? I got a movie to catch. You know, that's not salvation. That's not salvation. As we come to the close of this message, let us put God into the equation, okay? Do you believe that the Word of God as shown, as depicted in the King James Authorized 1611 Bible is really, really the true Word of God? I do. Have you repented? I did. And believed in the gospel of Jesus Christ? I did. And I'm glad I did. If you've done this, then your name will be entered. Now, listen carefully. Your name will be entered in God's book of life. And once it's in there, it can never, never, never be erased. My friends, I leave you with these words of hope. True salvation that is from God can never be returned. You see, God's not what we call maybe an Indian giver today. That's the term we kids use, you know. They'd give you a soccer when you were a kid, then they'd want it back before you finished with it. You know, that type of thing, candy. They'd give you candy, take candy back. Tell you something, don't mean it at all. Anyway, that's another story. You know, I want to thank you for listening. I want to thank you for dropping by and hearing this important message today, because you know what? It is a matter of salvation, an urgent matter of salvation. And it's what you need to know about salvation. Are you sitting in a church, you know, a big church is packed every day, and you're hardly noticed because you're in the midst of the crowd? They're all around you, and they're raising their hands up to the Lord, and they're listening to the music coming over the speakers. And in some of these big churches, they even have light parades. You know, they're flashing lights like you're in a rock concert or a discotheque or something. Oh, the presence of God, if He is there, is not pleased. Not pleased at all. Do you hear somebody up on the platform giving you the word of God and yelling and screaming and roaming all about and taking off his jacket and throwing it across the floor, trying to get your attention? Is that the kind of church that you go to? Well, let me tell you something. You achieve just as much, if not more, if you just get down on your knees. Or if you couldn't do that, just sat in a chair, sat on the edge of the bed, and talk to the Lord very personal-like. And said, tell Him what's on your heart. Tell Him that you believe. You believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Tell Him. That's what He wants to hear. Oh, how He loves you. He's not willing that any should perish. God loves us so much. Oh, yes, He does, especially the little children. I want to thank you for listening. I really do. May God bless you, each and every one. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen.